Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program that goes by the title of Lives of the Companions. And in this program of ours, we cover the biography of one of the honorable companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And at times, we also discuss the personality in multiple episodes. And this is also the case with us in this very episode as well, that we will discuss the same personality that we discussed in our last episode, and we will continue our discussion on them in our today's episode as well. We spoke about the host of the Prophet, the ardent devotee of the Prophet, the one who left a great legacy behind for us in terms of how to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in terms of how to sacrifice everything of yours, how to devote yourself for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, how to submissively present yourself in prophetic court, how to submissively act upon the sayings and teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and how can we attain high ranks by doing so. It was none other than the honorable companion, the illustrious companion, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. And today, inshallah, azawajal, we will keep talking about Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. His actual name was Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Khalid bin Zaid Ansari radiallahu anhu, and he was famously known as Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. In our last week's episode, dear viewers, we spoke about various perspectives of his great life, and we primarily covered the excellence that he possessed from the perspective of being the host of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the honor which was not shared by any other companion. Such a privilege, such an honor he was bestowed with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that many other companions, they yearned for it, they longed for it, and everyone wanted to attain this honor. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, such a moment which the companions had been waiting for a very long time. The Ansar Sahaba who were present in Madinah al-Munawwarah, they were waiting for this moment from a very long time. And finally, the time comes when the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam migrates to Madinah al-Munawwarah, blesses the land of Madinah al-Munawwarah with his own physical presence. And all the companions, all the ardent devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they want the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to bless them to be their host. But then what happens? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that wherever my she-camel stops, I will stay over there. And this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the she-camel, it stopped in front of the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, and that's where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stayed. That's where he alayhi salatu wasalam resided after his migration. And the other companions, subhanAllah, they were in awe of the fortune of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. And we also covered that how Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu and his honorable wife radiallahu anha, how they displayed respect and manner, love in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, inshallah, we will continue our discussion and we will talk about the greatness of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu from different perspectives as well. From the perspective of him narrating hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how learned personality Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was, how pious and righteous personality Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was. And inshallah, we'll also talk about 1,000 years old letter, subhanAllah. This great letter, who was it written by? To whom was it addressed? Through whom it reached whom? And what was the entire account behind it? So inshallah, Zawadil, today we'll talk about that very letter as well. But before we delve into our discussion of the letter that we will primarily talk about, but let's listen to a hadith that was narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Now this hadith, dear viewers, shows us the mindset and the nobility of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anh, that how pious and righteous he was, what a great rank of piety he was upon, and how cautious he was in relation to not only offering salah, but offering it with full focus and concentration. Now this very narration, which he narrates, it shows us the importance of offering salah with full focus and attention. So Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anh narrates that was the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated that indeed two people go to masjid, towards the masjid, and offer salah. Now one of them, they return after offering salah, they return, and his salah is as weighty, carries as much weight as Mount Uhud. Whereas the second person returns and the weight of his salah is not even equal to a single particle. Now Sayyidina Abu Humayd Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, he says that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is it possible? Two people went to offer salah, right? They performed the same action. Now upon return, one person's salah carries the weight of Mount Uhud, whilst the other person's salah is not even as, it doesn't even carry the weight of even a single particle. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, how is it possible? Now the Prophet ﷺ replied that this is possible when that person is more intelligent, more wiser than the other person. The person whose salah weighs more, like Mount Uhud, when he is more intelligent and wiser than the other person. Now upon this, he again asked, how is this possible? To which the Prophet ﷺ then responded that when, now this bit over here is something that we should mainly ponder and focus upon. Prophet ﷺ replied that when he refrains from those things which Allah has declared haram, and when he excels, he has the greed of excelling others in pious deeds, even though he is inferior, he is lesser than other people in nawafil, in voluntary acts of worship. Allahu Akbar. If you look at the message of this very narration, dear viewers, we can see that how beautifully an emphasis has been placed upon the prayer, offering of a salah, with focus, with concentration, as well as how important it is for us to refrain from those things which Allah has declared haram. To have that urge and yearning within ourselves to excel others in performing pious deeds without having any element of jealousy within us, of course. And then, such a person is way superior, even if he does not perform many voluntary acts of worship. So this narration that Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu narrated shows us that when Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu is giving us this message through the saying of Prophet ﷺ, then he himself, how adherent he would be of this very commandment which is given in this very narration, in this very hadith. So this is something to ponder upon, dear viewers, that it is of utmost necessity, utmost importance, that we A, offer our salah with full focus and concentration, attention, whilst making sure that we abide by all the obligations, all the conditions, etc. And then B, for us to make sure that we stay away from those things which Allah has declared haram. This is necessary for us. Performing voluntary acts of worship is optional, whereas refraining from those things which Allah has declared haram, it is fard upon us. It is necessary for us to refrain from those things which are haram, which are unlawful. And then towards the end of this narration, it was stated that the person has that yearning, that greed, in other words, to excel others in pious deeds. So these are those beautiful and fundamental pieces of advice that we should also contemplate, we should also ponder upon, and revolve our own life around these pearls of wisdom which Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anh narrated. What a beautiful charter of life is given within this very narration. Another hadith, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu narrates, which Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah, he mentions in Sunan Ibn Majah. And this again is such a beautiful hadith which comprises of a very brief yet very comprehensive advice that was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu narrates that once a person came in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and requested the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to give him a brief piece of advice. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that when you stand up to offer salah, then offer it considering it to be your last salah, your last prayer, and do not utter any such thing because of which you have to apologize and lose your hope, be hopeless, entirely hopeless of people's wealth. Subhanallah. Now this advice was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to a person who came in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, asked for a piece of advice, a brief piece of advice, yet a comprehensive one. And Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith, telling us that how important it is for us to also act upon these fundamental pieces of advice. When you stand up to offer your prayer, then consider it, offer it whilst considering it to be your last prayer. Subhanallah. Imagine if, for sake of argument, we come to know that my today's prayer, Isha prayer, is the last prayer of my life which I'm offering. Imagine that having this knowledge, being aware of this fact, then what level of concentration we will have in that very salah. And in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that whenever you stand up to offer salah, offer it whilst considering it to be your last prayer. Allahu Akbar. Then do not utter anything because of which you have to apologize later. Again, what a beautiful piece of advice this is. Do not say anything, do not utter anything because of which you have to apologize later on. Only if we can also understand the comprehensiveness of this very saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. First, we should weigh our words. We should reflect upon our words, whether because of them we have to apologize later on, whether because of those words we will be embarrassed at a later stage, or do they have any benefit for me in this world or in the hereafter. So if we measure our conversation in the light of this very scale, in other words, then inshallah we will see what a great beautification will take place within our own character and how greatly influenced the environment around us would become. So second piece of advice was, do not utter any such thing because of which you have to apologize later on. And then, subhanAllah, be completely hopeless of people's wealth. Do not keep any hope in the wealth of people. Only rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we need to look upon the wealth for the people? Why do we want to have any kind of hopes from the wealth for the people? This is something that greatly distresses us. This is something which also becomes a means of depression when we have long hopes, high hopes from someone, but ultimately when we don't get the desired result. So beautiful pieces of advice in these two narrations we have seen, dear viewers, and these are the narrations which are beautifully mentioned by Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu. There are many other hadith as well which Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu mentioned, and very important hadith as well. Well, every hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is important, but many important hadith of the Prophet ﷺ were narrated by Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, which shows us the greatness and the brilliance that he radiallahu anhu possessed from the perspective of knowledge as well. What a great legendary and knowledgeable personality he radiallahu anhu was. Let's talk about one account of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, where he again looked after the Prophet ﷺ and those Sahaba who were with him. It is mentioned that once the first Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, they were walking around Masjid al-Nabawi, and now they come across the Holy Prophet, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he alayhi salatu wasalam asked them that what exactly made them to leave the house at this hour of the night, to which they replied, hunger. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the same reason I'm here. Allahu Akbar. Now what happens? They all go to the house of one companion. Who was his companion? None other than Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. Then he sees the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and other two companions alayhi muridwan standing there. Now what does he say? That he says that how fortunate I am that I have this honor. How fortunate I am to host you. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was the host of the Prophet anyways, but at this occasion he becomes happy that this is greatest of the honors for me that I am here to host you. Now he brings some dates, some fresh water, gives his wife some bread, some flour, some bread to bake, and he slaughters an animal to cook a meal. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he takes the bread, places the meat inside and gives it to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu and says that give it to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, as she has not seen the likes of this food in days. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam then lists these foods and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this huge blessing. Dear viewers, how many pearls of wisdom and advice we can derive from this very narration, this very account. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu wholeheartedly welcomes the guests and the most honorable of the guests who came and blessed him. This was an honor for him. It shows us that what it means to look after our guests. Our state is unfortunately completely opposite nowadays. It shouldn't be the case. We should be happy when guests come to us. There's a great reward to look after them wholeheartedly. Then we see the simplicity of the Sahaba, the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the difficult times that they had to go through, that they experienced. They were hungry, they didn't have anything to eat. And when Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, he arranged for food, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that take this and give it to Fatima. Allahu Akbar, look at the love of father for his daughter. She hasn't seen food of this nature in days. Allah, Allah, the purest of the household, for whose sake everything is distributed. This is their state. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he lists these food, the food items, and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a huge blessing. Again, our state, we have stored food for weeks and weeks. How much do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is our state? Something for us to learn from, something for us to ponder upon, something for us to take from and implement in our lives as well. To be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be kind to our guests if they come, and to be hospitable, to look after them, serve them wholeheartedly and nicely. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about the host of the Prophet, the illustrious companion, the blessed companion, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Now it is time to go towards our first segment. Our first segment of the day is Message of a Scholar. So let's go towards this segment and see what message there is for all of us from a scholar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Those people who are making videos and keep on posting to get some likes, to get some followers, they do to get some fame. Don't you ponder that people like, but you get unlike from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu salam unliked you. Please don't do such acts by Allah azza wa jal. In whole world, if no one likes me, but my Lord azza wa jal likes me, and Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu salam likes me, that's enough for me. I don't need anyone else's like. Why are you displeasing your Lord azza wa jal just to please people? Why don't you ponder? He is the one who forgives us. What a beautiful prayer it is. لا يغفر الظنوب إلا أنت يا الله. Oh Allah, there isn't anyone except you who can forgive sins. But people are displeasing Allah just to please other people. Today, repent sincerely.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Such a beautiful message, such a relevant message in today's day and age, where we need to again ponder upon these words of wisdom, this beautiful message that was given to us in this clip of Rukneshura, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Sallamahul Bari, where we should think about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prioritizing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anything and before anyone. Dear viewers, Just before going towards our segment, we were talking about Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu and the beautiful account where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to his house, and he radiallahu anhu served them a meal. And we talked about the beautiful pearls of wisdom that we learned from it. Now, let's move on towards the 1,000 years old letter that we were talking about. That what great letter that was, what great history it contains. And whenever we talk about Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, we can never ignore this letter, as this letter has a beautiful connection with Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Let's talk about this letter inshallah in a bit detail and see what exactly happened and how it connects back to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. So dear viewers, this letter is approximately 1,000 years old. In Yemen, there was a king whose name was As'ad Dubban Himyari. This was the name of the king. He ruled over there. And now it is stated that because in the Yemeni's language, Tubba, it meant king. So whoever would be the king over there, he would be known as Tubba. And this very king, he is known as Tubba'ul Awwal, meaning the first king. And he became famous with the name of Tubba Himyari. So Tubba'ul Awwal was the king of Yemen who we are talking about. Now it is stated that Tubba, once he went for a walk, he went out for a walk, he went for a visit, you can say, of his kingdom. And along with him was also his vizier, his minister. But his awe and dignity was such, dear viewers, that 113,000 soldiers on foot also accompanied him, and 130,000 horse riders were also alongside him. So you can see that what a great army he had with him. 113,000 soldiers on foot and 130,000 horse riders with him. Now, whichever city this caravan would arrive in, the people, they would be in awe. You can imagine 130,000 plus 113,000, that's 243,000 people accompanying a king. You can imagine what would be the state of people when they would see this great, great army and the king of a stature of Tubba'ul Awwal. Now they would become extremely, extremely awe-inspired. And now, because of this, they would respect him immensely. Now, one thing that Tubba'ul Awwal, he did was that during this journey of his, every city that he would go to, he would choose 10 scholars from that city and he would include them within his caravan. So as he went through many cities, he ended up having 4,000 ulama. So 4,000 ulama were gathered by Tubba'ul Awwal within his own caravan. Now, when this caravan reached the city of Mecca, the people over there, they didn't give any attention to him. You can imagine that they are going to every single city. People are respecting them, honoring them, they're in awe of them. But now they come to Makkatul Mukarrama and people, they're not even fussed. They're not bothered. They're not giving any attention to them. Now upon this, Tubba'ul Awwal, he became really furious, really angry. A king of such stature, so many people with him, and he became so angry that why these people are not honoring us. Now he called his minister and asked him the reason for this, to which he said that the people over here are quite strange people live over here. There's a building in this very city which is known as Kaaba, and these people within that building worship the Satan and idols. Now listening to this, Tubba, within his own heart, he made an intention. He made an intention that he'll kill all the men of the city and he'll imprison the women and children of this very city. And he will demolish the building of the Kaaba, and then the name of Kaaba will become Khirba, meaning a devastated place, a desolated place. So this is what he thinks in his heart. He hasn't expressed this intention of his to anyone. He just thinks of this within his heart. Now, coincidentally, what happens is that as soon as he thought of this, all of a sudden, he experienced a severe headache. Very bad headache he experienced. And now what happened was that smelly water started to emanate from his eyes, from his ears, from his nose, and from his mouth. And a great, great smell would emanate from him. And it became almost next to impossible to sit next to him even for a moment. You can imagine if this was the state of a person who was emanating such a bad smell, such a bad odor, then how can someone sit next to him? Now the minister, he spoke to many doctors. You can imagine that the king is out with such a great army. He would of course have doctors as well with him. So he spoke to the doctors, the ministers, but none of them could give any cure to the king Tubba. No one could come up with any cure for him. And the doctors, they said that this doesn't seem an ordinary illness. This seems to be a heavenly affliction, which is beyond us to repel. It is beyond us to cure. It is not in our hands. We can't do anything on it. So doctors, they gave up. They gave up saying that this seems to be a heavenly affliction and its cure is not within our hands. Now what happens, dear viewers, inshallah, Zawajal, we will come back towards it after the second segment of ours, for which it is now time in our program. The second segment of our program is Words of Wisdom. We'll go towards over this segment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu
anhum. Beautiful thing, dear viewers, today, which is a statement narrated by the fourth caliph of Islam, the lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala, wajhahu al-kareem. Subhanallah. What a beautiful statement. He radiallahu anhu said that the hardship after which one will gain paradise is not a hardship. And the comfort after which one will receive hell is not comfort. Allahu Akbar. Only if we can understand the depth of this thing, only if we can understand the comprehensiveness of this thing, that the hardship after which a person gains paradise is not a hardship. Once a person gains paradise, no hardship will be a hardship anymore. Just a second, one smallest of the tiniest of the seconds and moments of being in paradise would remove all the effects of hardships that we went through. But on the other hand, the comfort after which one attains, one receives hell, Allahu Akbar, that's not a comfort. Because may Allah save us all, one smallest, tiniest moment of being in hellfire would remove all the feelings of the comfort, all the effects of the comfort altogether. Something very, very important for us, dear viewers, that we should not leave any pious deed, any good deed, because of any hardship there may be within that act of worship. And we should not commit any sin because of any pleasure or any comfort that may lie therein. As the hardship will go away, but the reward will remain within the book of deeds. And on the other hand, the comfort would go away, but the sin would stay within the book of deeds. Something very, very important for us. Beautiful saying of Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Only if we can learn from it and truly act upon it. May Allah Almighty allow us all, enable us all to act in accordance to this beautiful saying of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Dear viewers and Madani channel, you're watching Lives of the Companions, and today we're talking about Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. And just before going to the segment, we were talking about the 1000 years old letter and the king Tubba'ul Awwal, and how he was afflicted with the severe headache, and now doctors, they came to him and they mentioned that this seems to be a heavenly affliction, something which is beyond their control to cure. Now what happens is that Tubba, he was in severe pain, and because of this he couldn't even sleep at night. Now, remember, we mentioned earlier that he kept selecting 10 ulama, 10 scholars from each city that he would visit. And ultimately, he had 4,000 ulama gathered within his caravan. Now, All of a sudden, one night, one of the scholars, he came to the minister of the king, and he says to him that if the king replies truly, tells me the truth about one of the questions that I'm going to ask him, then I can cure him, I can treat him. And this again, he asked the minister in secrecy, in privacy. The minister, he goes to the king and he says that one of the scholars have come, and this is what they're saying. And Tuba, he instantly agreed to it. So the scholar, he goes to Tuba, and when there was no third person between them, he asks him that, "Oh king, tell me truthfully, tell me true, that what did you think about Kaaba in your heart?" Allahu Akbar. You see, scholar is a scholar, alim is alim, knowledge is knowledge to areas. Subhanallah. So the scholar, he asks him that, "Tell me truly, that what did you think of Kaaba in your heart?" Now Tuba, who was completely in pain because of the illness, he instantly mentioned his ill intention to the scholar. And after listening to the intention of Tuba, the scholar, he said that the reason for your illness is this ill intention of yours. And he says that, remember that the owner of Kaaba, he knows the matters, the hidden matters of the heart as well. Remove this thought, this ill thought from your heart, instantly your well-being lies in this. Now this scholar, he invites him towards goodness. He's reforming him. He's telling him that the reason for your illness is your ill intention that you had in your heart. And he's telling him that your cure lies in you removing this ill intention of yours, in you repenting from this very intention that you made. Now the king, Tuba, he instantly repented and he removed that ill intention from his heart regarding the Kaaba. And it's written in the books, Javius, that the scholar had not even left from there when the king, he recovered completely. SubhanAllah, he recovered completely. And upon recovering, now Tuba, he embraced faith upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he embraced the religion of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now after this, what he does is, now he prepares 7 covers for the Ka'batullah Sharif, and he adores the Kaaba with the covers. And prior to this, dear viewers, no one had ever covered the Kaaba with a covering. But Tuba'ul Awwal, he was the first king who prepared the covering for the Kaaba, and he covered the Ka'batullah Sharif with those beautiful covers. Now Tuba'ul Awwal, he commanded the people of Makkah to preserve the Kaaba, to protect the Kaaba, and from here he went towards Madinatul Munawwara. Now in those days, dear viewers, there was no population in Madinatul Munawwara. People wouldn't reside in Madinatul Munawwara, and there were no signs of life over there except one spring of water. Now the caravan of Tuba, they stayed by that very spring of water, and as they stay over there, now the 4,000 ulama who were also over there, now they consulted amongst them. They consulted amongst them, out of whom 400 ulama, they made this firm intention that no matter what happens, now they will not leave from here. They will not leave from Madinah Tayyibah, regardless of whether even Tuba'ul Awwal, the king, kills them or burns them or whatever. They won't leave this land. So 4,000 ulama, they're over there, and out of them, 400 ulama, they decide not to leave Madinah Tayyibah. Now at that time, it was called Yathrib. It wasn't Madinatul Munawwara. It was the Prophet والسلام, who blessed the land of Yathrib, and it turned into Madinatul Munawwara. So 4,000 ulama who were in the caravan of Tuba'ul Awwal, they consulted over there, and 400 of them, they made this firm intention that they will stay over there and they will not leave from Madinatul Munawwara. And they did not care about the consequence which they would have to face because of this decision of theirs, whether the king executes them or sets them ablaze, whatever, they don't care about it. They said, "We will stay here until we die." Now when this news was received by Tuba'ul Awwal, he became quite shocked as well. He was quite astonished that how come these scholars, they've decided to stay over here? Now, to find out the reason for this, Tubba'ul Awwal, he sent his minister to those ulama to speak to them and ask them that what is the reason that they don't want to leave from here? What is the reason that they've decided to stay over here until the last breath of their life? As this was such an astonishing news for the king, that some of the scholars, they're saying that we won't carry on, we won't carry our journey, we won't go along with the king on the journey further. We will stay over here and we will die over here. We won't leave this ground. So now, Tubba, he's also shocked to find out the reason behind this, that what is the reason that they've taken this decision, they've taken this step. So he sends his minister to them, to those ulama, to speak to them, to ask them that what is the reason that you don't want to go from here and you want to stay over here. Now, what discussion took place between the ulama and between the minister? Inshallah, we will come back to this after this third segment of our series, as it is the time for us to include our third segment. So the name of the segment is, Do You Know? So let's go towards this very segment and see what questions and answers there are for us in this segment of ours in our today's episode. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
So dear viewers, today, alhamdulillah, our segment of Did You Know revolves around the knowledge of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam, subhanallah, and beautiful questions and answers they are for us. So let's go through them and inshallah we'll acquire more knowledge of Islam. Question 1, which nation was Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam sent to, subhanallah? The answer for this question, dear viewers, is that Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam was sent to the nation of Thamud. Nation of Thamud is the name of the nation to which Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam was sent. Question number 2. Which animal and from where emerged through the miracle of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam? This is again very interesting to view that Allah Almighty blessed Salih alayhi salam with a great miracle, and by it an animal emerged, and from where was it? Let's listen to it. A she camel emerged from the rocks of the mountain through the miracle of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam. So this was the miracle that was granted to Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3. What was the name of the person who unlawfully slaughtered the she camel of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam? Yes, Jesus, there was one unfortunate person who went against the command of Salih alayhi salam, went against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unfortunately slaughtered the she camel of Salih alayhi salam. So the name of the person who unlawfully slaughtered the she camel of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam was Qadar bin Salif. Qadar bin Salif was the name of the person who unlawfully slaughtered the she camel of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam. Question number 4. What punishment befell the nation of Thamud which destroyed their entire nation? Now, when they disobeyed Salih alayhi salam in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of slaughtering the she camel, now a punishment befell them. So the question was that what punishment befell them? The answer is that their punishment began with a piercing cry followed by a severe earthquake. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped away the signs of this disobedient nation, this transgressing nation, this rebellious nation who rebelled against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who rebelled against the command of Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. They were told not to harm the she-camel, but they not only harmed the she-camel, ma'azallah, thumma ma'azallah, martyred, slaughtered it. And then eventually the punishment of Allah Almighty befell them, and even these signs were even wiped off from the face of the earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May Allah Almighty save us from His wrath. May Allah Almighty save us from His punishment. And may Allah Almighty make us enter the abode of peace, paradise, for the sake of His mercy. Ameen. So, dear viewers, before going towards the segment, we were talking about the 400 ulama who now decided to live in Madinatul Munawwara and not leave from there, regardless of what consequences they have to face by the king. So they've made this decision, and the king now, he became very surprised that why have they made this decision? So he sends his minister to them, and now the discussion which takes place between them, the reason which they tell the minister for their staying over there, let's talk about this. So the ulama, the scholars, they said that one prophet will come whose name will be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of him, Kaaba and Medina will be honored. He will be the Imam of Haqq, the Imam of Truth. The name of his sword will be Dhul-Fiqar. He will ride upon she-camel. He will stand upon the pulpit, and he will hold a staff in his hand and deliver sermon. Now, his honor will be increased by granting him the Quran. And when it will be the day of judgment, then upon his head would be adorned the crown of Hamd, and in his hand would be the flag of Hamd. He will invite people towards La ilaha illallah. He will be born in Makkatul Mukarrama, and he will bless Madinatul Munawwara with migration. Indeed, that person will be privileged, will be honored, who will attain his era, and who will embrace faith upon him. And we want to stay until our last breath over here in hope that either we will be blessed with presenting ourselves in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or our offspring, our children will be blessed with this very honor. So this is what they mentioned to the minister of the king. So you can imagine, this is so many years before the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those ulama, they knew that the final messenger would come, and he would come in Madinatul Munawwara. And because they were ulama, they had the knowledge. You see, this is how important knowledge is. Other people, they didn't understand the value of Madinatul Munawwara, but because they were scholars, these people, they had the knowledge. Hence, they decided to stay over there. And the reason which they mentioned was that because the final messenger would come here. And how beautifully they mentioned the praise of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the naat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was even mentioned back then, 2500 years, thousands of years before the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they mention this entire account to the minister, and now the minister, he goes to the king, and he relays the entire a situation to him, mentioning that this is the reason why ulama, these scholars, they want to stay over here. Now the king, he thinks to himself that why don't I also stay over here with these 400 scholars for 1 year? It is possible that I also attain the era of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and I'm blessed with his vision. I'm blessed to behold him. Now with this intention, Tubbaul Awwal, he also stayed over there, and the 400 ulama who stayed over there, he built 400 houses for them. He got them married over there and also gave them a lot of wealth. Now, after waiting for 1 year, when Tuba, he intended to leave from there, now what he does is, he writes a letter for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and the content, the subject of the letter was somewhat as follows. He says, from Tubbaul Awwal Himyar bin Warda to the messenger of the Lord of all the universe and the final messenger Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This letter is an entrustment of Allah. Whoever gets this may take it to its rightful owner. So he's writing that from Tubbaul Awwal Himyar bin Warda to the messenger of the Lord of the worlds, the final messenger, Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And now he writes, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I embrace faith upon you and the Quran. I adopt your religion and your sunnah. I embrace faith upon your Lord and the Lord of everything. I accept the Sharia that you will bring if I'm blessed with the honor of having your company, then this would be a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. And if I'm not blessed with this privilege, then do not forget me on the day of judgment. Please intercede for me in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am your obedient ummati and I'm your follower even prior to your arrival. I'm upon your and your father Ibrahim alayhi salam's religion. So this was the content that he wrote in this letter. After writing this letter, Tub'a stamped it with his gold stamp, upon which this statement was engraved. لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ, meaning that the command of Allah before and after is the command of Allah, and that day the believers will be happy with the help of Allah. Now he's written this letter, he stamped it, and now the same scholar who had reformed Tub'a, the same king, now what he does is he hands him over the same letter. The same scholar who came and who reformed him told him that you should remove the ill intention you have in your heart regarding Ka'batullah Sharif. All that reformation that took place within Tub'a'ul Awwal through that very scholar, he gives that letter to him and he leaves a will to him that if you meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then give him this letter. And if you do not, then give this letter to your children for them to deliver it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And if they don't, then they should say the same to their children. And generation to generation, this will of mine should be passed on until this letter is delivered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. Look at the love, emotions that were within this letter, subhanAllah. So Tub'a'ul Awwal, he embraced faith upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, gave this beautiful letter to that very scholar with this very will. And then he left from there to a city of India, which was Ghalsan, and he passed away over there. Now, what happened after this, inshallah? We will come back towards this after the final segment of our episode, which is Hadith of the day. Let's go towards our segment, Hadith of the day, and on the other side of it, we'll continue our discussion and talk about what happened thereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Dear viewers, let's listen to this Hadith and understand how the knowledge will be taken away from us. Will that happen? Yes, dear viewers. Let's listen. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, knowledge will not be taken away suddenly from the hearts of the people by Allah Almighty, but it will be taken away along with the death of scholars. When no scholar is left, then people will take ignorant ones as their leaders and ask them questions, and they will issue fatwa without knowledge. They will be misguided by themselves and they will also misguide others. The viewers, in times of widespread evil, people are in need of such individuals who can enlighten them, show them goodwill and make them hopeful for the mercy of Allah Almighty and make them fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. Those who engage in the noble act of calling others towards righteousness are the ones who will soon achieve success and guidance from Allah Almighty. The practice of calling towards righteousness and forbidding evil has been upheld by righteous people in every era, not just this era, but in every single era, and it will continue until the day of judgment. Dear viewers, let's be of those who call towards righteousness and join the fragrant Dawat-e-Islami that teaches us this. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, dear, is a beautiful message for us, something to ponder upon. May Allah make us amongst those who will be successful. Devias, you're talking about the letter that Tubba' al-Awwal wrote for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Tubba' al-Awwal wrote that letter, gave to the same scholar who reformed him, and then left from there. He went to a city of India, which was called Khalsan at the time, and he passed away over there. Now, after approximately 1,000 years of passing of Tubba' al-Awwal, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And after blessing Makkah al-Mukarramah for 53 years, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam migrated to Madinah al-Munawwara. Now remember, dear viewers, that there were already some companions present in Madinah al-Munawwara who are known as Ansar. And these Ansar companions, they are from the lineage of the same 400 ulama who stayed there and decided that they won't leave from there until the last breath of their life. So those 400 ulama 1,000 years ago who stayed over there, these Ansar companions were from there lineage, and for 1,000 years they were preserving that very letter of Tubba' al-Awwal from generation to generation. Now imagine, dear viewers, that 400 ulama 1,000 years ago, even they knew that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would arrive here. So this also was being awaited for. The arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was being awaited for generation to generation for all these years, and eventually it was the Ansar Sahaba who were fortunate to be in that era when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was going to migrate to Madinah al-Munawwara. So when this news was spread that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is migrating to Madinah al-Munawwara, now the Sahaba, they became extremely happy. And now it came to a point to decide that how would we give this letter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So there was a consultation that took place between the Sahaba, the Ansar Sahaba were there, in regards how to take this letter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And within that consultation was also Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anh, who had migrated before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to Madinah al-Munawwara. Now they decided that there should be a very trustworthy person who should take this letter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And now it was decided that Abu Layla Ansari, that he should take this letter in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Layla Ansari radiallahu anh embraced Islam later on. So Abu Layla Ansari, he takes the letter and leaves on the path that goes towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. And on the way, when he reached the tribe Banu Sulaim, now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was already present there. Now Abu Layla Ansari, he had not seen the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had not seen Abu Layla Ansari either. So Abu Layla Ansari, he didn't know who the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. But when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw Abu Layla Ansari, he alayhi salatu wasalam addressed him saying, "Anta Abu Layla," that you are Abu Layla. To which he said, "Yes." Listening to this, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, giving the news of the ghaib of the unseen, said, "Wa ma'aka kitabu Tubba' al-Awwal." Allahu Akbar. You have the letter of Tubba' al-Awwal? Listening to this reply, Allahu Akbar, Abu Layla Ansari was completely taken aback. He was astonished, he was surprised, and he was shocked that who is this honorable personality who, first of all, he hasn't met me, but he knows my name and he also knows the reason for which I've come. Allahu Akbar. Now, he asked, "Who are you?" And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, "I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give me the letter." Now listening to this, Abu Layla Ansari, he opens his bag and gives that 1,000 years old letter, which was sealed by Tuba. He hands it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the letter, gives it to Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, and instructs him to read the letter. Now Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, when he read the letter, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said three times, "Marhaban bil akhi salih," welcome, O righteous brother, welcome, O righteous brother, welcome, O righteous brother. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded Abu Layla Ansari to go back to Madinah al-Munawwara. Now when Abu Layla Ansari went to Madinah al-Munawwara and mentioned the entire account of handing over the letter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba, the people of Madinah, became extremely happy and they blessed him with rewards and whatever they could as per their capability. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam blessed the land of Madinah al-Munawwara in the resonance of Tala al-Badru alayna, Subhanallah, at that time every companion wanted that the Prophet ﷺ stays in his house. But the Prophet ﷺ said that leave my she-camel, wherever it would be the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would stop over there. Now the she-camel, it keeps walking and it stops in front of the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu. And do you know, dear viewers of Madani channel, that Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu was from the same lineage of that scholar who reformed Tubba'ul Awwal. You remember Tubba'ul Awwal became extremely ill, no one could cure him. Then one scholar came and asked him, to tell me truly, that what did you think about the Kaaba? Tubba, he mentioned that this is what my ill intention was. And then the scholar reformed him, rectified him, told him that remove this ill intention from your heart, invited him to his righteousness, and Tubba, he repented. So Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu was from the lineage of the very same scholar. And that house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu, in which he was living, that was the same house which Tubba'ul Awwal built for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam centuries ago. That was the same very house, the very same house which Tubba'ul Awwal had built for the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So dear viewers of Madani channel, you can see that how beautifully this letter connects back to Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, and how fortunate and great greatness Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu possesses from this very perspective as well, that this very letter, Tubba'ul Awwal, those 4,000 scholars, then amongst them 400 stay in Madinatul Munawwara, then generation to generation letter gets passed, and that very house which is built specially for the Prophet والسلام, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu is residing in there. Allahu Akbar, and he belongs to the lineage of the same scholar who reformed Tubba'ul Awwal, because of whose individual efforts Tubba'ul Awwal eventually embraced faith upon the Prophet والسلام, and built all those houses. And he wrote that beautiful letter where asking for the intercession of the Prophet والسلام, saying that I believe in you, I believe in your religion. If I see you in my lifetime, this will be the greatest of honors I can ever have. But if I don't, do not forget me on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. So this is all due to the individual efforts of that very scholar, and from the lineage of the same scholar was our master, our leader, the host of the Prophet, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu. Dear viewers of Madani channel, the time doesn't permit us to keep talking about Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu, the other aspects of his life, the scholarly brilliance that he had, and then how he sacrificed everything of his for Islam, for the Prophet والسلام, is remarkable. Eventually, he radiyallahu anhu passed away in Constantinople, which is in today's day and age, the city of Istanbul in Turkey. That's where his blessed shrine is also situated. Many devotees of the Prophet visit the blessed shrine of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu to take blessings, re-blessings. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest of mercies and blessings upon the blessed shrine of our master, our leader, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen bidahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, this was all from our episode of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu. Insha'Allah Zawajal, next week we will be back once again with a new topic, with a new personality in our program, Lives of the Companions. So don't forget to join us back in our next week's episode. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the Companions, radiyallahu anhum.